Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Chedem and Aleph, the two dots. Before we start the Gemara, just a little bit of background in terms of the Gemara. First thing is Pythagorean's theorem, which everyone's familiar with to learn in school, which is that when you have a right triangle, it's a squared plus b squared equals c squared. The Gemara itself has a calculation along those lines, discussed it in numerous places. The Gemara in numerous places says that if you have a right triangle that is one amma by one amma, the hypotenuse is 1 2/5. That would be the hypotenuse. The calculation is pretty close, which is that if you actually take the square root of 2, it comes out to be 1.4142. So the Gemara is giving you 1 2/5, which is 1.4. Missing rounding error is that 0.0142. That's the rounding error. But as you get to bigger numbers, obviously it's going to have a bigger impact, that rounding error. So just be aware of the fact that we're going to have some rounding error today in the Gemara. Based on that, the Gemara thinks the Pythagorean's theorem works on the right triangle that's 1 by 1 is going to end up with a hypotenuse of 1 2/5. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the Gemara is here going to talk about a cylindrical bin that falls down into the Reshut HaRabim. The opening is a circle. What the Gemara is trying to determine over here is once you have a circular opening, I need to fit a space of 4x4 tefachim inside of it. So if I have the opening of the bin as circular, then how do I fit a square of 4x4 inside of that? Now again, that deals with if you have a triangle, or what, if you have a square, if you inscribe a square inside of a circle, then the cross, the diagonal of that square will be equivalent to the diameter of the circle. So if I have a square that's 4x4, then whatever the diameter is will be determined by Pythagorean's theory. You could take it at 4 and 4. The Gemara will say that if I have 4x4, then the third side is 4 times 1 2/5. So 4 times 1 2/5 turns out to be 5 3/5. So the Gemara will think the diameter of that side is 5 3/5. Again, that's 5.6. In reality, it's closer to 5.65. Because again, the 0.0142 now multiplied by 4 is rounded out 0.05. You're going to have that rounding error. So that's 5 3/5. That 5 3/5 is the diameter of the circle. And based on that, the Gemara is now going to make some calculations. Just giving you this as background so that when we go through it, it will be easier to understand. So Megumar begins here. I'm going to buy Sarak Kaveret. He throws some sort of bin, cylindrical item, into the Reshut HaRabim. Gvoayud, this bin, this Kaveret, is 10 tefachim high. Ve'ein arach vadvav. But it is not 6 wide in its diameter. The diameter is less than 6. Chayav. In that instance, you will be chayav. Because what you threw is a chayfetz, is an object. And how you threw an object from a Reshut Yachid to a Reshut HaRabim. Rachvav Vav, on the other hand, if the diameter of the opening of the bin is 6 tefachim wide, then you are patur. The reason you're patur is because instead of throwing an object, you threw a Reshut. You threw a full Reshut Yachid. You threw something that is 10 tefachim high, and having a circle with diameter of 6 tefachim will give you a space of 4x4 tefachim that you can inscribe the square inside of this circle. Obviously, this is off. We already said that it is 5 3/5, not 6. We'll have to deal with that in 1 second. But based on that, if it is the minimum of 6 tefachim in diameter, you've thrown a Reshut HaYachid into the Reshut HaRabim. Not a chayf, it's not an object, but the whole Reshut into the Reshut HaRabim. As Rashi points out, that in the Mishkan, we've learned everything out, especially with Hotza'ah, as we mentioned before, because it's a Melacha Gru'ah, we learned it out from the Mishkan. And the Mishkan Gamrinan Shayu Zorkim Achteyem B'Melachtan Zelazeh. They used to throw their needles back and forth between them. Those are objects. V'Layu Zorkim Rishuyot. It's a little problematic what Rashi describes over here, because the Gemara later on in the Masechta says that the reason that you're not allowed to throw objects back and forth is a Halacha of the Moshe Mesinai. This was the Gemara's Havamina, that it was because on Tzadik Vav Amin Bet, that was the Gemara's Havamina that they threw back and forth. The Gemara ends up concluding that it's a halacha the Moshe Mitzinai. But based on that, you're only chayav for throwing objects. You are not chayav for throwing rishuyot, which is what ends up happening here. If you get the bin or the cylindrical object here to be big enough, it becomes a rishut. Reshut HaYachid, we know, is 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim in terms of its width and length. So the Gemara is assuming here that if the diameter of the circle is 6 tefachim, then you have a rishut. Now we did the calculation already, even based on the Gemara's numbers, and that comes out to be 5 3/5, which would be the height of Pythagoras or the diameter, not 6 tefachim. Rashi comments on that right away and says that the Gemara was not exact over here. It was the Chumrah. Rounding, but rounding the Chumrah. And that you have to get up to six tefachim to be a Rishut Yechid. But Rashi says, Abal, Vadai Linyan Korban, Lo Maiti, Yehavya Hei Tefachim V'Gimel Chumshin. If the object had a diameter of 5 3/5, he would not bring a Korban Chatat anymore. Because Min HaTorah, you've already crossed into a Rishut Yechid, and you're having Vizarek Rishut. Round it up to six, the Chumrah, to tell you that you're still Chayav in that case. As Rashi points out, the threshold will be 5 3/5, not the six. That's the way Rashi deals with. Tosafot quotes the Rach. Rabbeinu Chananah, who deals with the issue in a different way. He says, well, you made a mistake here because you forgot the diameter of the walls of the Kli. That it's true that this Kli is 6 tefachim wide, but that includes the rim. That includes the width of the walls around. And he claims that the width of the walls is 2/5. If the width of the walls is 2/5, then the inner airspace is 5 3/5, which is the diameter that you're searching for. Tosafot quotes this Rabbeinu Chananah, and he rejects it in the end. He brings proofs to the fact that that's not the case, and he thinks that Rashi is right. Rashi is right that it's all a rounding issue, and not that the walls are 2/5 thick. I mean, they're really, the walls are 1/5 thick on each side, which will give you 2/5 in total. And that would give you the 5 3/5 diameter that you're looking for by only including the airspace, not including the rim of the kli. But Tosafot says that's not the case here. You should include the entire width of the kli. Now, in terms of the height of the kli, we include the entire 10 tefachim of the kli, including the base of the kli here. When we're considering the reshut over here, we don't look at the internal space. Even according to Rabbeinu Chananah, we look at the height of the kli from the outside. It means it's got to be 10 tefachim high, from the outside of the kli, from the rim of the kli to the base of the kli, not looking at the airspace on the inside. So according to Rashi, that's all consistent. We don't look at the base of the kli, we don't look at the rim of the kli. It's going to be 6 wide, 10 high. It's irrelevant, because we saw that before with the house. Remember when you had the house, and it only had 9 tefachim on the inside, but 10 on the outside, on top of it is classified as a reshut yachid. So the reshut is a reshut yachid. According to that, with 10 tefachim high on the outside, 6 tefachim high wide. And again, the 6 tefachim is either because you don't include the rim, or going to Rashi because it's a rounding error, it's really 5 3/5. So then, we have the statement of Rava now. Rava amara, afilu ein rachvavav, patur. Even if it's not 6 tefachim wide, you're patur, my taima. If shah the krumiot shel kaneh, shelo ya'alu l'malom yasara. So there's no way that this kli, this kveret that is made, will not have some projections or something sticking out of it. You're assuming right now that it's going to be exactly 10 tefachim high by 6 tefachim wide, and that's how you get your reshut yachid. He says, wait a minute, you can never have it be that it's exactly 10 tefachim high. Because when it's 10 tefachim high, you're going to have some sort of kaneh, rod, cane, or if it's a woven basket, whatever the object is here, there's going to be something that projects outward. Why does that make a difference? That makes a difference because of the 10 tefachim. Right now, we have an object that is 10 tefachim high and 4 by 4 tefachim wide based on describing the square inside of the mouth of the kli. The kli then can land entirely in the reshut harabim. But what happens if it's more than 10 tefachim high? If it's more than 10 tefachim high, the object will not land inside the reshut harabim because the reshut harabim, as we've seen before, only goes up to 10 tefachim. If you land an object beyond the Rishut HaRabim, it's not in the Rishut HaRabim. And that's what Rava's statement is. The Kaven de lo necha kula Rishut HaRabim, as Rashi says, since the entire thing did not land in Rishut HaRabim, lo be hanocha liyichyuve. That's not called hanocha. You have to have an akira and then an anacha. The anacha only works if the entire object lands in Rishut HaRabim. If the object's taller than 10 tefachim, if there's anything projecting out of it, anything outside of that 10 tefachim, then the object is taller than the Rishut HaRabim. By being taller than the Rishut HaRabim, it can never land in the Rishut HaRabim if it lands standing up. If it lands standing up, then it's at least 10 tefachim plus high, and it'll be outside the Rishut HaRabim. If it lands on its side, obviously it could land in the Rishut HaRabim, because then it'd only be 6 tefachim wide, and then it could fit into the Rishut HaRabim. But by landing upright, Rava says there's no way that you're going to be chayv on a kli that is 10 tefachim high, because of these projections. Abaye agrees in principle to Rava's position, that if it was more than 10 tefachim, it wouldn't be considered to be in the Rishut HaRabim. He just believes you don't have these projectiles or these extensions from the kli that stick out that make it more than 10 tefachim. So he thinks the whole object or the whole kli can land in the Rishut HaRabim. Kalfa upia. Now, if you threw the object or dropped the object by putting it face down, so far we've had the object land and we assume that it landed on its base. What happens if it comes in face down? Now, if it comes in face down, we now enter a new issue into the puzzle, which is, the Gemara says, if you have that, then shiva umashu chayav. If the kli is 7 and a little more, you'll be chayav for landing in Rishut Rabim. Shiva mechza, if it's 7.5, patur. At that point, you are patur. Ravashi Amar, avilu shiva mechza chayav, says, even 7.5, you're chayav, maitama. Michitzot l'tochan asuyot. Michitzot are made for the internal side, not the external side. What's happening over here is when the object is thrown, and it comes over face down, as it comes over face down, we have the walls are acting as the michitzot. We have a principle in halacha called lavut. That means if you're within 3 tvachim of the ground, it's considered as if you're attached to the ground. So now, instead of having to have a kli that is 10 tvachim high, if I have a kli that's 7 tvachim high, kli that's 7 tvachim high plus the 3 tvachim in lavut, that would make you a mechitza of 10 tvachim. That would be chayav. The problem becomes if, at that point, I had a little more to the kli. If I had a little more to the kli, then I'm within 3 tvachim in the ground, and the kli is not below the threshold of a Rishut HaRabim. Rishut HaRabim is 10 tvachim high, and as the kli comes into land, it's going to have mechitzot, including the lavud, that make it as if it's landed before it crossed or cleared the 10 tvachim of Rishut HaRabim. And that's what's happening over here. So 7 and mashu, you're going to be chayav, because the 7 plus the 3 of lavud, but you have to enter those 3 tvachim in order for them to count. It has to be less than 3 tvachim, so that mashu will make it less than 3 tvachim, and then you'll have a kli that is entirely landing in the Rishut HaRabim. If you have 7, as Rashi says, 2 mashuhus, doesn't really have to be 7.5, Rashi says 7.5 again is a rounding here, but 7 and 2 mashuhus, then it's as if the kli landed outside of the Rishut HaRabim. The first mashu puts you within 3 tvachim of the ground. The second mashu says that the kli now landed before it cleared the 10 tvachim of Rishut HaRabim. Because the 7 plus the mashu plus the lavud makes it 10 tvachim high. That additional little bit puts the kli above the 10 tvachim of Rishut HaRabim, and it hasn't landed in Rishut HaRabim. That's what the Gemara says here. If the kli is 7.5 tvachim high, it's coming face down and landing in the Rishut HaRabim, you are not going to be chayav. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot over here points out, Rashi says that the focus of the here is the mechitzot, or the walls of the kli. And since the walls of the kli are considered or classified as mechitzot, number one, Tosfot says, the diameter of the opening is still 6 tvachim wide. The diameter of the opening is still has to be 6 tvachim wide because you want to have mechitzot. Mechitzot only exists if you have a space of 4x4 tvachim on the inside. So Tosfot says that the Gemara is continuing with the original assumption that we're talking about the kli that's a minimum of 6 tvachim wide. It has to be 6 tvachim wide in order to create the mechitzot. The number two thing that we have over here is that when it comes to the mechitzot that are coming down, we're focused on the walls of the kli. And since we're focused on the walls of the kli, we are lo amrinan, lavud b'mechitzotah. We only say lavud with mechitzot. Therefore, when the kli landed base down, when the bottom of the kli was coming down, we don't say lavud. Because lavud's not applicable over there because you have a kli that's landing on its base. The only thing lavud is applicable is when it's coming down face down because the mechitzot are the walls of the kli. And then you can have a principle of lavud apply. For that reason, Tosfot says, I disagree slightly with Rashi. Rashi is counting the 7 or 7 and 2 mashus from the base of the kli. Tosfot says over here that it would have to be internal airspace of the kli. Here you would not count the base of the kli. You need real mechitzot that are 7+. And that would exclude the base of the kli. So Tosfot says over here, the 7.5, it's not clear what Tosfot says. It really, according to Rashi, and it seems true, is that you only need 7 and 2 mashus. It might be according to Tosfot, the 7.5 clears the base of the kli. 7.5 with the base of the kli gives you internal mechitzot that are 7+2 mashus. And therefore you'll be chayav. But Tosfot says you exclude the base of the kli from the calculation. It's the internal airspace of the mechitzot, because everything depends on mechitzot here. And it's only a mechitza for what is encapsulated in the airspace. The base of the kli doesn't count towards those mechitzot. Rashi doesn't seem to make that distinction, and according to Rashi, it seems like that the base of the kli would count towards the 7+, and coming down. So there is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot here as to how much of the mechitzot have to be here. Is it mechitzot with the base? That's Rashi, or is it mechitzot without the base, which is Tosafot? Seems that they both would agree that you at least need that 4x4 of the minimum length width, which would mean that the circle has to be at least 6 tvachim round, that means 5 3/5 of diameter, in order for this to be chayav in mechitzot. Rav Ashi disagrees, and Rav Ashi says, the walls of the kli are not made to create the mechitzot. The walls of the kli are made for internal purposes. They're made to hold items within the kli. They're not made to be boundaries to the outside or create mechitzot. And so Rav Ashi says this whole thing fails, not because you don't have the requisite measurements, but because you don't have mechitzot here. If you don't have mechitzot, we're back to stage one, which means that it has to be a minimum of 10 plus in order not to land in the Rishut HaRabim. But if it's less than 10, then it can land in the Rishut HaRabim, and you will be chayav. According to Rav Ashi, correct. It won't count unless it meets the requisite 10 tefachim. That would be if it was right side up. It wouldn't matter whether it was right side up or upside down. You need the 10 tefachim high plus the 6 diameter that the Gemara is demanding over here. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amar Ulam. Amud tisha birshut harabim. If you have a post that is 9 tefachim high in birshut harabim, virabim mekatfim alav, and people adjust their loads on it. Because it's that height, it's a proper height either to lean on, to rest on, or to adjust your load on it. Vizarak, and a person throws an object, v'nach al gabav, and it lands on top of this pillar, beam, whatever it is that's standing in the Rishut HaRabim. There he is, chayav. Oh, he's chayav. Even though, over here, it's not easy for the Rishut HaRabim to use it. We said before, in order to be part of the Rishut HaRabim, you have to be less than 3 tefachim off the ground. Here's something that's 9 tefachim off the ground, and we're counting it as part of the Rishut HaRabim. So the Gemara explains that now. My time. Pochod mishlosha, anything that's less than 3 tefachim, midras darsile rabim, is trampled, is traversed by the rabim, and therefore it's included as part of the Rishut HaRabim. That's what we discussed yesterday. We discussed some of the exceptions to that, if there are things that people won't trample on. Or, again, some of the Rishonim mentioned lovewood over there, that even though they're not trampled on because of lovewood, they are considered part of the Rishut HaRabim. But you have to be under 3 tefachim to be considered part of the topography of the Rishut HaRabim. Mishloshava tisha, from 3 until 9, lo midras darsile, v'lo ktufe mekatfile. People do not use those objects. Between 3 and 9 tefachim, they don't trample on it, but they also don't use it to rest on or to adjust their loads on. Therefore, they are not part of the Rishut HaRabim. Depending on their size, they will then be either a Carmelite or a Makom Ptur, depending on how wide it is. If it's 4x4 tefachim, it'll be a Carmelite. Less than 4x4 tefachim, it'll be a Makom Ptur. Tisha, vaday mekatfine loy. When it comes to 9 tefachim, that's an area that's used by the Rabim. Since it's utilized by the Rabim, it becomes a part of the Rishut HaRabim. Even though it doesn't meet the requisite size of a Rishut. So even though it's not 4x4, it's not 3 because of the Rishut HaRabim, it becomes a part of the Rishut HaRabim, and therefore you are going to be chayav on it. But that's only if it's upwards, 9 tefachim upwards. We discussed before that there's also going downwards, and that's the Gemara's next question. I'm going to buy the Rav Yosef. Gumamai. What happens if you have a dish or a depression in the Rishut HaRabim? If it's less than 3 tefachim, it's a part of the Rishut HaRabim. What happens if you have a depression that is 9 tefachim deep? Do we now say that it's part of the Rishut HaRabim, or the utility of the Rishut HaRabim? So Rabbi Yosef says, "My Amarle v'chein Guma." He says Guma has the same din. So 9 down and 9 up are the same. The Rishut HaRabim utilizes both of them. Rabbi Amar, b'Guma lo. We're talking about a depression. We're talking about a ditch. No, my taima. Tashmish yedei atachak lo shmei tashmish. That's not normal usage. That's a difficult way to use it. People aren't going to utilize a guma in that way. We're talking about something that's upright or extends upwards in the Rishut HaRabim. That has ease of use. When you're talking about a depression, whether it's that you have to lean over and put something down in there, or that you actually descend into the ditch and then use the sides, meaning the Rishut HaRabim itself, as the place to reload or to adjust your load, either way, that's not an easy way to do it. You have to make exerted effort or extra effort to do that. And because of that, it's not considered to be part of the Rishut HaRabim. So Rebbe will distinguish between 9 tefachim down, where it's no, and 9 tefachim up, where it is yes. And then Rav Yosef says, no difference. The same is true, both up and down. Eitvei Rav Adabar Matal de Rovo. Hayta kupato munechet b'Rishut HaRabim, gvoa asara v'rachva dalet. Here's a basket inside of the Rishut HaRabim. That is 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high. Ein mitaltilin lo mitocha l'Rishut HaRabim, v'lo mishut HaRabim l'tocha. You can't move objects from it to the Rishut HaRabim and from the Rishut HaRabim into it because it is a private domain. It's a 4x4, 10 tefachim. That is a private domain, reshut yachid. So you can't move objects from reshut yachid to a reshut rabim. Pachot mikain, if it's less than that, mitaltalin, then you can't move objects back and forth. V'chein biguma, and the same is true by a guma. It is. The first case is not a question. The question is pachot mikain, if you're less than that, that could move objects back and forth. It's not so pshita, because if you don't meet the requisite size to be a reshut yachid, then you're allowed to move the objects back and forth. Well, Carmelites, you would not be allowed to, because you're not allowed to move from a Carmelite to a Shudra Abim. Here, you'd have to say, and Rashi says this, Vim tomar pachot miyud v'roch v'dalet Carmeliti. So, wait a minute. If it's less than 10, and it's still 4x4, that's a Carmelite. The Rabbanim were gozer, you're not allowed to move from a Carmelite into a Shudra Abim, or a Shudra Abim into a Carmelite. Rashi says over here, lo gozer Rabbanim l'vutulei mitorat kelim hol v'klihu. Rashi says it's a unique case of Carmelite. Currently, when it reaches 10 tefachim, 4x4, it becomes a reshut yachid, that's not a question, it's movatalet from being a kli into a reshut. But when it comes to a reshut derabanan, a rabbinic domain, they will not change an object that's a kli into a reshut. And therefore, if it's less than 10 tefachim, 4x4, wide, it will not be a karmelit, it will be defined as a makom ptur, and therefore you can carry back and forth from the object to the reshut derabim, or the reshut derabim to the object. So this is an exception to the rule of Carmelite. It's an important exception that a Keli will not become a Carmelite, and therefore will be mutar to move back and forth from the Keli into the Reshut HaRabim, or the Reshut HaRabim into the Keli, even though it has the dimensions of what otherwise would have been a Carmelite. V'chein biguma. This is what the Gemara is after. It's the same as true with a depression or a ditch. My love, a seifa. It's going on the latter half of the Braita. If you go on the latter half of the Braita that says that something that's less than 9 tefachim lower, it's considered to be a part of the Reshut HaRabim because you can go back and forth. If that's the case, that goes against what Rava said before. Rava said before that 9 tefachim down
is only tashmisho yidei dachak. It's a difficult usage and therefore it's not classified as a Reshut HaRabim.
So when it says love, a seifa love, a resha, it's the chen guma is going on the resha part of it. If the ditch or the depression is 10 tefachim deep and 4x4 wide, then it is a reshut yachid, and you can't move things back and forth between the reshut rabim and the reshut yachid, or reshut yachid and reshut rabim. So the chen guma is only modifying the first half of the braita, not the second half of the braita, and therefore it will not be a question on Rava. Eitve, I have another question. Nitkaven lishbot birshut rabim v'niach eruvo bebor. So this is a case of eruv, which we'll get to in eruvin. In eruv, there's something called eruv tchumin. Erev Tuchim is the ability for you to set your residence on Shabbat in a different location. But what's the benefit of setting your residence in a different location? Wherever your residence is for Shabbat, you're only allowed to move 2,000 amot in every direction. Now, if you're within a city, you get 2,000 amot from the outskirts of the city. There's the city plus the periphery of the city, and then you get 2,000 amot beyond that. So if you're within the city confines, then you get the entire perimeter of the city plus an extra perimeter outside of it, and then the 2,000 amot start. But let's just take, for example, a place that you are a single house, not a city. You get 2,000 amot from wherever you are. What happens if you need to go more than 2,000 amot in every direction? You're allowed to establish what's called an Erev Tchumim. You're allowed to establish your residence by putting down a meal in another location that is reachable from where you are now. It has to be reachable from where you are now based on the new residence. The Eruv has to be within 2,000 amot of where you are now. And then that new residence will establish your residence there, and that will give you the opportunity to move beyond where you are right now. Again, all the details will come to an Eruvin, just giving you the information now. The Eruv Tchumim has to be in place when Shabbat enters. When Shabbat starts, the Eruv has to be in place, and the Eruv has to be accessible to you when Shabbat enters. So now, this is the case here. Nitkavin lishpot b'reshut rabim. He wants to have a residence in reshut rabim. Ve'iniach eruvo b'bor l'mala miyut tefachim. And he put his eruv above 10 tefachim in the bor. Eruvo eruv. Then his eruv works. Now, above 10 tefachim means less than 10 tefachim. Because we're talking about a depression in the ground. So above means that you're less than 10. So he put it less than 10 tefachim away from the ground, the reshut rabim. Then his eruv works. L'mata miyut tefachim. If it's below 10 tefachim, it means 10 plus, ain't eruvu eruv, then it's eruv's not an eruv. Because you're moving then from a reshut yachid, where your eruv is, and you're in the reshut rabim. You can't bring your eruv to where you are located. If that's the case, then you are not establishing a residence, because you can't access the meal that makes your residence. So echidami, what's the case here? So the Gemara says, ilay me bebor di le asara, says that the bor itself is static. It has 10 tefachim deep. Ulamala, what does it mean that you but placed it in there above 10 tefachim? The delay, the otve, that you hung it above 10 tefachim into the boar. Ulamata, what does lamata mean? Ditatai, the otve. You placed it at the bottom of the boar. So the question of where the Eruv is not about the size of the boar, it's about where the object is within the boar. When it says, Mali Lamala, Mali Lamata, what's the difference where the object is within the boar? Hu b'makom echad, ve'eruvo b'makom acher. He's in one location, and the Eruv is in a different location. The boar is a reshut yachid. The entire boar is a reshut yachid. Once a boar is 10 tefachim deep, and 4x4, that's a requisite for being a Rishut Yachid, anything that's within the boar, from the rim of the boar down, is Rishut Yachid. So it doesn't matter where you place the object within the boar, it's irrelevant where it is within the boar, it's all in a Rishut Yachid, and it doesn't work. Elalav, so you must explain the bracha that we just brought, the boar, the late Be'asara, that the case when we said that it was higher than 10 tefachim, meaning above or less than 10 tefachim, that was a case where the boar does not have 10 tefachim in it. Viktani Eruvo Eruv. That is Eruv is an Eruv. Alma Tashmish Yadei Dechak Shmei Tashmish. That says that that type of utilization is considered a utilization. It's part of Reshut Rabim. If it's part of Reshut Rabim, that means that you have access to your Eruv. You're in the Reshut Rabim. Your Eruv is in the Reshut Rabim. You have access to it. So therefore, that's a question on Rabba. Now, that same nature as the question before we asked on Rabba. Before we asked on Rabba, if you say V'chein B'guma, that means that the 9 tefachim is classified like a Reshut Rabim. It's classified like a Reshut Rabim. That means that if you move back and forth, then we're not worried about it. You can move from the Reshut Rabim to it into the Reshut Rabim. So over there, he answered, no, it was modifying the ratio. And there, when we say that it's a Reshut Yachid, that means V'chein Guma. Guma has a Reshut Yachid. Guma never has the status of a Reshut Rabim. So he could get away with that over there because there was a ratio and a seifa. Over here, there's only one dimension over here, and it's saying that it is good to be a Reshut Rabim. So the Gemara said, Hashem the Mishani Leh, sometimes he answered this way, Hu ve'eruvu ober Karmelit. He and his Eruv are in a Karmelit. They're both in a Karmelit. The Eruv's now in a Karmelit because, as we said before, if you're 4x4 tefachim and less than 10, that's a Karmelit. Over here, we're not talking about a Kli. So over here, there is a Karmelit. So the Eruv's found in a Karmelit, and he above is also a Karmelit. It's not a Reshut Rabim, it's a Karmelit. Of Amai Karlei Reshut Rabim. So why did I call it a Reshut Rabim? The Feinish ain't a Reshut Yachid. It's not a Reshut Yachid, therefore I called it a Reshut Rabim. But it's not really a Reshut Yachid, it's a Karmelit. So he's in a Karmelit, his Eruv's in a Karmelit, now you're in the same location. So that's fine. Vizimne Mishalele, the other times he gave this answer, which is a stronger answer, Hu Reshut Rabim, Veruvo Karmelit. He's in a Reshut Rabim, his Eruv is in a Karmelit. That's a rabbinic Reshut. So the restriction from moving the object from the boar to the Reshut Rabim is simply rabbinic in nature. That makes a difference, ben ashmashot. For Rabbi's of the opinion, damar kol davar shum mishum shvut, anything that is a din de rabbanan, that is a problem is shvut. Shvut here means that the rabbanan said that this is the proper way to keep Shabbat, to rest, to desist from this type of action. Lo gozru ala ben ashmashot. Then they were not gozer on that ben ashmashot. So now you have Eruv. Eruv has to be present and in place at Ben Ashmashot. After that, if it gets eaten and so on and so forth, it still is considered to be a residence because it was there at Ben Ashmashot. At Ben Ashmashot, Rabbi tells us that no Dinei Rabbanan apply. All restrictions to Rabbanan are suspended during Ben Ashmashot. That's a time that it's a fake. Whether it's Laila or not, the Rabbanim only goes there, only put their positions in place once we know that it's Badai Laila, once we know that it's for certain nighttime. So at the time that the Eruv is being established, there is no Dinei Derabbanan. There's no Dinei Derabbanan. You're in the Reshut Rabim and your object's in a Karmelit. You have access to it at the time of the Ben Ashmashot. So that's the answer. The answer is that everything's happening at Ben Ashmashot. At Ben Ashmashot, your Eruv takes effect and the Dinei Derabbanan are suspended. So therefore you, in Reshut Rabim, can go get your object from the Karmelit to Ben Ashmashot, and therefore it's a good Eruv. It says, don't say I'm just pushing you off and just giving you a difficult answer. I'm telling you that this is the case. The Tanan. We have a Mishnah. If you have some sort of puddle in the Reshut Rabim, and the public traverses that puddle. If you throw an object for a moat through that puddle, you're going to be chayav as if you carried for a moat in a Reshut Rabim. What is classified to be a puddle that the public will traverse? That is, pachot miyut tefachim. As long as it's less than 10 tefachim, the public would traverse it. Just in terms of what a rakaka is, Rashi, interesting over here, calls it a gravila, umayim tzafim alav, and water floats on top of that, which I would assume means gravel, upon which water is floating. So that's the puddle that we're speaking about over here, just based on Rashi saying. It's giving a description of what this puddle is that we're talking about in the Rishut Rabim. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Rakak Maim Shirshut Rabim Alechet Po, a puddle of water that the public traverses, Hazirek the Tocho Dalet Amot, if you throw four Amot in that, Chayav. So the Mishnah, which we're going to see later on in the Masechta on Daf Kuf, repeats itself twice. It says twice that if you have a puddle, which the Rabim, the public, traverses, then you are Chayav if you do something that has Asur and Rishut the Rabim. So the obvious question is, why does it have to mention it twice? So Gemara says, Bishlamar Rakak, Rakak, Trey Zimne. I'll tell you why the Mishnah mentioned puddles twice. Chad bimot hachama, v'chad bimot hagshamim. One is for the summertime, and one is the wintertime. V'tzricha, and we need both of those. Diash minam bimot hachama, if you only told us about the summertime, Davide inshe the kruri nafshayu. It's hot outside, and they want to cool themselves off, so they're willing to walk through the puddle in order to cool themselves off. Therefore, the rabim, the public, traverses these types of puddles. Aval bimot hagshamim, emalo. In the wintertime, where it's already cold outside, nobody wants to go into the water. So maybe there we would say no. V'yesh v'nim bimot hagshamim, if you only told us about the wintertime, agav demitanif, mikrei v'nochit. He's already dirty. The road is muddy. There's already water everywhere. He's already dirty. Why not just go through the puddle? No worse. He's not going to be any more dirty. He's already dirty. Aval bimot hachama, where you're dry and you're clean, lo, then he wouldn't be willing to enter into the puddle and become all muddy and dirty. So tricha. So that was why the Mishnah mentions rakak twice, the case of rakak. Ela hiluch shrei zimnei lomeli. Why do you have to tell me twice that it's only considered to be part of the Shut Rabim? If the public traverses it, why do I have to say that din twice? You give me two dinim. One is that rakaka mayim is the puddle is considered like Rishut Rabim, and you also told me that it's only Rishut Rabim if someone traverses it. So you gave me two dinim twice. Rakaka, I understand. I explained that now. Once is for the winter time, once is for the summertime. But why do you have to tell me twice that it's the Rabim that traverses it? That's what makes it into a public domain. El alav shmam yinah. You must conclude from that huchiluch hayudei dechak shmei hiluch. Walking, which is not exactly your normal walking, it's somewhat difficult, that is considered to be walking. Tashmish hayudei adachak, utility, that is not the normal way to use it. Lo shmei tashmish, shma minah. So Rava proves from that Mishnah that only when you have walking or traversing, which is somewhat difficult, out of the ordinary, there we still consider it to be walking through or a part of the public domain. But when we're talking about utility or utilization of an area, then utility is only if it has ease of use. Doesn't have ease of use, then it's not considered to be utility. And that's Rava's distinction. Rava says, when you're talking about a projection that comes out of the Rishut Rabim upward, that is 9 tefachim high, that's easily utilized, and therefore it's a part of the Rishut Rabim. When you're talking about a guma, when you're talking about a ditch or a bore that's 9 tefachim deep, that is not easily utilized. And since it's not easily utilized, it does not become a part of the Rishut Rabim. And that's why he argues on Rav Yosef, who says that the guma, 9 tefachim deep, has the same din as the object that is 9 tefachim high in the Rishut Rabim. Okay, now we move on to a new topic. Amar Rav Yehuda. Hi, Zirza Dekani. If you have a bundle of sticks, staffs, canes, Rama Bezakfe, Rama Bezakfe, and you roll it in Rishut Rabim, roll it lengthwise. So what you do is you pick it up, it's standing on end, it's up high, then you flip, you knock it over, and then you roll it again. You keep rolling it in that manner. Then, lo mechayev, you would not be chayev ad akerle, until you actually lift it off the ground. Because the rolling of the object is not considered to be akira, it never leaves the ground. Since it never leaves the ground, you've never done a proper akira over here. Since you've not done a proper akira, you cannot be chayav in Rishut Rabim. Your question is, what happens if they don't do it on the lengthwise? Flip it lengthwise, if they only roll it, say, horizontally. It's on the bundle side, and you just keep rolling it through the Rishut Rabim. Over there, you'll be chayav. Now, Tosafot explains the difference between them. And that is because when you flip it, based on the vertical side, you flip it, you upright it, knock it down. Over there, the rods or the canes or the staffs are long enough that they are more than dalet amot. They're more than 4 amot long. So being more than 4 amot long, it means that when it lands, it still has part of it in the original dalet amot, and the new head is already entered into the next dalet amot. So then when you flip it again, you're already flipping it with, you're in the new dalet amot already, and then you're starting again. Whereas if you rolled it horizontally, says Daf go Rama v'zakfe d'sheniach roshu echad chutz l'dalat amot adayin roshu hasheni munach betof dalat amot. Because when you go into the new four amot, there's still part of it that's in part of the old dalat amot, because it's long enough that it extends over two sections of dalat amot, and therefore you're never really moving it because it's always still in the older dalat amot. And then when you enter the new one, you're creating new dalat amots each time, extension of the dalat amot because of the length of it. But he says, on the other hand, if you were milgalgel, then you would be chayav, because then you would actually move from inside of dalat amot to outside of dalat amot. That's what Tosfot explains.
They're all moving at the same.
Right? He says, aval milgarer zirzad dekani bevat achat. If you did it in one shot, ad chutz l'dalat amot, and you got them all out of the dalat amot. Oh, mishut erichid l'mishut erbim chayav. If you moved it from mishut erichid l'mishut erbim, you'd also be chayav, as long as when you did it, all the staff, the whole bundle moved from one area to the other area. So if you're able to move the entire bundle, yeah, then you would be chayav. If you're not able to,
rolling is not good because the minute you roll,
you're moving all of them.
Right. You're moving them all of them out of the dalat amot.
So what happens if you kind of walk it?
Right. So Tosfos talks about migarer. David Kimmer Gerer Chavetz Ad Shotzi Rosh Chavetz Chutz L'Dalat Amot VeNichov VeAfal Pishe Chozer Mashkod Chutz Patur Shalom Nasitam Lacha BeVat Achat. If you drag him in one shot, then it would be chayav. So the difference is whether if you drag it where the object just pulls along, then you're not chayav because it's not
right.
There's no akira. It's not leaving the dalat amot. If you drag it in a way that it leaves, the whole object leaves in one shot. Again, dragging would make a difference which direction it's facing. If it's lengthwise and you drag it, you're going to be patur because you can't get it out bevat achat. If it's horizontal and you drag it, then you're going to be chayav because you can get all of them out of the dalat amot in one shot. Dragging will have the same din as this, standing it, flipping it, standing and flipping it, because it's working in the same way, which is that you don't have a proper akira here. The only way to get a proper akira is if you can move the whole object in one shot. All right, so now, amar mar, adam omed al iskopa. So a person stands, just going back to what we saw earlier, back on Davav by the Tosefta. Person stands on the threshold, he'll tell me balabait, v'notein lo. He can interact with the balabait back and forth. No, tell me aniv and otein lo. You can work with the anivs and the reshut rabim and work with him. So you can work with the reshut yachid or the reshut rabim because he is in a makom tour. So how is skopa my? What is this skopa? What is this threshold that we're talking about? Ilemu skopa to reshut rabim. If we're talking about a threshold that is part of the reshut rabim, as Rashi explains now, kagoni skopa to mavui, she'in alea tikra, does not have a roof over it. We mentioned this back by the Tosafta. There it's not clear that this is the case. Here Rashi mentions the idea that if it's not roofed. If it's roofed, we know that it's not considered reshut rabim. Ve'en gvo min akarka gimel tfachim. It's not three tfachim off the ground, and the lechi is inside of it. The lechi is beyond, or the doorway to the mavoi is past that point. That's iskobet reshut rabim. Then they'll tell me, balabait, how could you take from the balabait? I'm not picking me reshut yachid reshut rabim. That's a full-fledged reshut rabim. And you can't interact with the balabait who's in the reshut yachid. So what do you want to suggest here? That it's a skopa reshut yachid? Either it's roofed, or it's inside of the lechi. Or it's 10 tefachim high by 4 wide. It has whatever criteria would make it into a threshold that is part of the reshut yachid. Then no tell me an ani, how could you interact with the ani? Hakamayel reshut rabim reshut yachid. Then you're taking something from reshut rabim into reshut yachid. Ella, iskopat karmelit. Talking about a karmelit, an area derabanan. So no tell, but no tein lechatchila. How could you lechatchila interact either with the balabait or the ani? That's a karmelit. It's a reshut rabanan that you're restricted from moving back and forth between. Sof sof isura mi'aita. There's still an isur there. How could you say lechatchila? Go ahead and interact with them. Ella iskopa makom ptur ba'almahu. Has to be that it's a makom ptur, which we explained originally, but here the Gemara comes to the conclusion, kagon, delayed bay dalad al dalad. It has less than by 4x4. So less than 4x4 makes it that it's not a karmelit, and it has to be higher than 3 tfachim. Here the Gemara does not qualify it. There in the Gemara in Eruvin, it does qualify it, and it has to be above 3 tfachim to separate it from the reshut rabim. Because we said before, anything that is below 3 tefachim becomes part of the reshut rabim. So it has to have a minimum of 3 tefachim high, and then less than 4x4. Less than 4x4 takes it out of being a karmelit. If it was 4x4, it'd already be a karmelit. So it has to be less than 4x4, and above 3 tefachim, in order to be classified as a makom tur. This is similar to what we heard from Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Makom, she'in bo dalat al dalat tefachim. Mutar lebnei reshut hayachid ulebnei reshut harbim lekatef alav. Both sides can rest their objects on it, can utilize it, as long as they don't pass back and forth. As long as they don't use it as a way to move between Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim. Even though technically it's allowed, we don't want you doing that because of the danger that people will stop using the object and just go straight back and forth between Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim. Amar Bar, Ubavad, Shlo Yitol Mi Bala Bayit, Notein Le'ani, Umayani, Notein Le'Bala Bayit. So that's back to the Tosefta. The Tosefta says you can interact with the Ani and the Rishut HaRabim. Could interact with their balabayit in the Rishut HaYachid. What you're not allowed to do is move an object from one to the other. Vim natal v'natan shloshtam p'turim. If you actually do it, as we said now before, you're patur, because there is no chiyuv. This isn't a Rishut, right? That's not a Rishut the Rabbanan. So let me tabi a tiyuv to the Rovo. It should be a problem to Rovo. Dama Rovo, ma'vir chifetz mitchila dalet, the sof dalet Rishut Rabim. Aval pi sheviru derech alyo. Chayav. Even though you moved it, and here is a machloket Rashi and Tosfot exactly what you did, you are chayav. So now Rashi claims what you did was he raised the object above 10 tefachim. He picked up an object, moved it above 10 tefachim, moves out amot, and now places it down. So now you went through a makom p'tur. You moved the object from the beginning of Rishut Rabim, akarit Rishut Rabim, makom p'tur, down in Rishut Rabim. Our Tosefta here says if you move from a Rishut Rabim to a makom p'tur to Rishut Yachid, you're p'tur. How come Rova says you're chayav over here when you pass through a makom p'tur? So the Gemara answers, hatam lo nach, hochanach. There's a big difference. Over there, when you moved the object, it was always in motion. You lifted it out of the Rishut HaRabim, moved it through the makom p'tur and put it down in the Rishut HaRabim, but it never stopped. It was always in motion. Over here, the person who's standing on the skopa, you pass the object to them, they're stationary on the makom p'tur. Exactly. There's an anocha and then a new akira from the makom p'tur. In Rava's case, there's only one akira from Rishut HaRabim and an anocha from Rishut HaRabim. The makom p'tur has no relevance over here. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfot says, v'lon nehiro. Dim kein, havele the mifrach mirabanan. He says, if that's the case, you should ask the question on the Rabbanan. Why is the question only on Rava? Even the Rabbanan agree that above 10 tefachim is a makom tur. So why is the question unique to Rava? If that's what we're talking about. We're talking about makom tur. Everybody agrees above 10 tefachim and Rishut HaRabim is a makom tur. So Tosfot says, l'kach nira k'perush arach. Rabbeinu Nachananu, t'mepfaresh t'sheviru derech aliyo, ishheviru l'fanav neged gufo. He moved it in front of his body. He basically stood still, put his right hand out, picked up the object. He now moves the object in front of him, and then passes it to his left hand and puts it down, dalet amot, on his other side. There is no anacha, but you passed in front of your body. So the question, or what would have been, is, the Gemara is assuming now, since you moved your arms in front of yourself, that should be the equivalent of stopping, or as if you stopped. Because you moved from being stretched out to in front of you. So that should be the equivalent of stopping when you pass. Say you pass from your right to left hand. At that point, it should be the equivalent of stopping. The Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Because you're never really stopping. You're just moving the object all the way across, and you never become stationary and have an hanacha. So that's the difference between them, and that's the way the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the case of Rava. If you move something, put your right hand to your left hand across the four amot, you're going to be chayav. Even though you technically might have stopped in the middle, or it looks like you're stopping in the middle, that's not the case, because you're in a continuum. You never really stop when you move it past the front of your body. If you do stop, you place it down, or if you start up again, then you would be in a makom tur, and it would have the same din as the iskopa, of where a person is standing on the threshold and moving it back and forth, where you're in a makom tur, you'll be patur of al asur. You're not allowed to do it, midrabanan, but you're not chayav midoraita because you moved through a makom tur. Okay, we'll stop over here.